By the 19th and then the 20th century, we are speaking a community which triples or is even four times what it was in an earlier period. In other words, we are seeing remarkable demographic growth. In more recent times, Jews have dwindled in terms of their population and their birth rate. But at least up until the Holocaust, up until the 1939, we are speaking about an amazing growth, an internal growth, simply through birth. And one other aspect of these demographic change, not only migrations, not only natural growth in terms of the birth rate, but also the process of urbanization. Jews feel more comfortable in urban settings. And therefore, what emerges in our period, beginning as early as the 16th century, with the Italian ghetto, which you will hear about very, very shortly, the emergence of Jews in large urban spaces, close associations between Jews and non-Jews, urban communities have their own dynamics, rich and poor, social polarization, cultural polarization, the dynamic of urban life, which is clearly different from that of rural life. This is clearly, therefore, a factor. All of these three demographic factors, namely mobility, natural growth of population, and urbanization, impact upon the nature of Jewish life and Jewish culture. Development number three. Changing economic opportunities emerge for Jews in the modern era, especially associated with the rise of capitalism. Now, here I enter a very large subject, which I'm not going to treat at all in detail, but I want to mention it to you at least. Beginning with the great historian Werner Zumbart, who lived at the end of the 19th and early 20th century, an argument appears on the scene about the notion that Jews were the founders of capitalism. Zumbart was not an anti-Semite per se, but clearly he presents us an argument which is quite exaggerated, which is quite strong, which certainly could be utilized by anti-Semites to poke fun, to clearly criticize the Jews. For Zumbart, capitalism emerged with the Jews, particularly those international merchants, those court Jews and bankers, those engaged in international trade, who left their mark upon the emergence of capitalism in the 17th and 18th century during the mercantile period. Is Zumbart's thesis exaggeration or is it truth? The answer is yes and no. That is that clearly in a world that was open economically, when there were more economic opportunities, a deprived minority like the Jews took full advantage of this situation and entered the world of the capitalists. Were they the founders of capitalism? Were they responsible for the evils of capitalism? Were the Rothschilds, the great bankers of the world, synonymous with all of world Jewry? The answer, of course, is no. And therefore, without entering into the question of what Jews did or what they did not do, clearly, in an open economic environment for Jews, unlike the Middle Ages, there were now opportunities. There were now avenues that Jews could take that had not been available to them before, and thus this too impacted upon their Jewish culture. Factor number four, the rise of modern anti-Semitism. We are speaking now not about anti-Semitism in general, whether it be economic or religious in form. We were speaking about a new version of anti-Semitism that actually emerges as early as the 15th century in Spain. We will hear about this later on as well, but becomes most prevalent in the 19th century and the 20th century, and I'm speaking here about racial anti-Semitism. Even if a Jew chooses to convert, he or she will be hated because of the Jewish blood coursing his or her veins. In other words, the racial factor, whether scientific or not, and indeed, as we will see, it was not necessarily scientific at all. The notion that Jews can be defined by race, that Jews are one particular race, and because of that race, they must be hated, they must be alienated, they must be put aside, they must even be killed if necessary, is something that emerges in full force in our modern era. Jews are hated when they even choose to convert to Christianity. The culmination, of course, of these trends, which reach their development in the 19th century, but emerge in the 20th century in full force, is, of course, the Holocaust. And clearly, that particular event, that singular event in the history of Western civilization, leaves an enormous impact demographically, socially, culturally on Jews as on Western civilization as a whole. So the fourth development then is the rise of modern anti-Semitism. Along with this development is another development, our fifth development, namely the rise of Jewish nationalism and the rebirth of the State of Israel.